if she comes back? What if there's no way of moving back? What when your face falls apart? Have you got enough time?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange.
And a good evening to you, Sam the Animal Steel, with you on News Radio 570 WWNC, streaming on at the web at speakingofstrange.com. You can pick up all of our old podcasts. You can also listen to us via your iHeartRadio app. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual, and we speak of paranormal things, basically anything interesting that's a little bit off the beaten path that you might not hear in the fake news. And we are brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com. You can log on to HauntedAsheville.com. Those things, they go out really quick. The ghost tours, and that is awesome. Also, very proud to be brought to you by M&D Paranormal Investigations. You can attend. You can check them out via the Speaking of Strange website, speakingofstrange.com. They're right there on the front page, or check them out, M&D Paranormal. I am joined tonight by a drummer. He's more than a drummer. He's the drummer in the band I currently play in, Vic Crown. Little plug. He was also the drummer. A couple weeks ago, we had Erica Jane of Red Honey. He was the drummer in Red Honey for a while as well. He's also an ethnomusicologist. He is also, what did he say, a PhD in training?
Not a PhD, MA.
An MA, but got you've been master's. Working on stuff. You're a scholarly fella.
You could say, yeah.
Yeah, more so than I.
I like to learn about stuff.
Yes. His name is Colin Townsend. And he has been playing music in and around Asheville for going on 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't forget about my other band, Delicious.
Delicious? Also wearing Delicious. The Delicious, what does it say? Satan's Jam Band.
God bless Delicious.
Satan's Jam Band.
Yeah. So if you like jam bands, but you don't want to be lumped into that whole Grateful Dead Fish, Umphrey's McGee kind of crap.
Nothing like that at all.
Satan's Jam Band, Delicious. And, you know, I mean, so, and you do all this stuff at Western Carolina University, where during the day he does actually wear a tie.
On occasion, yes. On occasion. I have been known to wear a tie. And a vest, even.
And the owner of a very large beard.
Yes.
Colin Townsend. So, Colin, good to have you here. We've always, I like to think, been the most cerebral members of the band, while the other guys are talking whatever jibber-jabber they're talking about. We oft delve into real issues, not real like, you know, the state of politics today, although sometimes, but more esoteric things, you know, like things that interest you. You like, you know, music, obviously.
I like music. I like music in a ritual context.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very fascinated by this idea of trance possession, especially as a drummer, the way in which drums can be used to induce states of trance and possession.
You know, when I was growing up in a very religious household.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, we were not allowed to listen to rock music, mostly because of the drums.
Yes.
Being that they had, you know, we were told that they, you know, were used in voodoo ceremonies.
True.
And that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a trance-like effect in that we could be taken away and our souls stolen. By Satan's Jam Band.
Yes.
Stolen by Satan. And I guess there is some truth to that. Not stolen necessarily, but I mean drums and percussion used in rituals,
mm-hmm.
in voodoo and other religions.
Yeah, there's definitely an absence of drums and percussion in the larger sort of Judeo-Christian tradition.
Yes.
Precisely because of that reason. They're scary.
Why is that?
Well, because of basically what you mentioned, the idea of these, you know, scary booming rhythms and drums could, you know, invoke these spirits, these demons, perhaps the devil himself, to come and interfere. And so most drums and percussion were pushed out of the musical traditions, and it was just deemed as something that was, you know, that was going to tap into the forces you didn't want to tap into.
Now, how do you reckon that with contemporary Christian music today. That has drums in it.
Yeah.
You know, where did that change?
Well, like anything, you know, the pendulum swings. And so when you have this, you know, mainly when you talk about the absence of drums, you're going to see that with, like, if you think of, like, in your traditional, say, church setting where you sing hymns
Bach,
and things
drums.
Like that. Yeah, you've got a pipe organ maybe and maybe some strings or something like that. But you're not going to have a bunch of drums and percussion instruments playing. But, yeah, as we've gotten into this era of pop, rock and roll, whatever, you know, obviously there were going to be lots of musicians that came along that also happened to be, you know, Judeo-Christian tradition, whatever. Christians.
Looking at you, Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Yeah, so you know, the drums came back in as you saw bands coming in and playing. With
Petra.
Petra was actually the first
Striper.
Thing that came to mind. Newsboys.
Yes.
You know, some of those. So, yeah. So, it's come. And, you know, obviously, there are plenty of churches these days that have a full-on band. You
yes.
might spend most of the church service actually standing up and rocking out with a...
I wouldn't say you know, rocking out.
Well, you know, I've, you know, yeah, that could
even
that
the, even the very conservative church that, you know, my family still goes to and that I attend, like a good boy, probably once or twice a year.
Right.
You know, they even have, from time to time, when they get a little spry, a drum up there.
Yeah.
And sometimes an actual kit.
Yeah.
Usually a younger cat. You know, somebody in the youth group playing
right.
on that. But
actually, I remember the first time I ever saw anybody really... getting down on an electric kit was a church that I attended for a while in Charlotte, and they had a full-on band, and this drummer was up there, and he had this, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12-piece electronic kit, and it was one of those old Rollins, you know, the hexagonal-shaped
oh,
pads
yeah.
and everything. And that guy was pretty good, and
I
remember thinking,
Neil
hey,
Peart.
You could, I didn't know you could do that in this type of setting.
And the so, Neil Peart of the contemporary Christian world.
Or Neil Peart, whichever one you want to go
Peart?
With.
Peart? Yeah. Are you saying Peart?
Sometimes.
I thought it was Pert.
Well, it depends. Depends on who you ask.
I also I need to mention that I just had some oral surgery done, and I got some gaping holes in my mouth, so it could affect my enunciation, not
right.
only of the word Pert or Peart, but every time I open my mouth, it kind of hurts really
okay.
bad. Yeah, and I'm on some medication.
Well, we'll keep that in mind.
Let's keep that in mind in case... things go south.
So really nothing that you said is really out of the ordinary from
no.
our normal interactions.
Nope. Usually, yeah, let's just leave it at that. My parents listen to the show.
Right.
Yes. Amongst many other people out there. So when we were talking tonight, I was like, Colin, why don't you be on? And because, you know, we're the coolest members of the band. Just kidding. Mark and Patrick, we love you guys too. And I was like, you know, find some stuff that's intriguing to you because, you know, you in doing your scholarly work, it's always been somewhat interesting to me that you spend a good deal of time with who are the people that I can't think of their names. You lived with them.
Ah, Oyatunji African Village down in South Carolina.
Yeah, that in and of itself is a pretty interesting place.
Mm-hmm.
How do
yeah.
you say that again?
Oyatunji.
Oyatunji.
Yes.
And it's like, it's in South Carolina.
It's in South Carolina.
But it's like a village of Africans that aren't African.
Well, they're African Americans, but they basically live according to Yoruba culture. Yoruba being an ethnic group from Nigeria, West Africa. It was one of the largest ethnic groups that were enslaved during the period of the transatlantic slave trade. So this, like I said, it was an intentional community founded in 1970. It's been there for quite some time. And so their religious practices, cultural practices, language even when they're there at the village is all based on Yoruba practices.
And you lived with them for...
I never actually lived there, but I visited there quite often
you
over
a
about,
hanger
a,
on.
About
you were
a
groupie.
5 or 6 year period. Yes, yes.
They were like, oh, here comes the white guy again.
The bald white guy.
The bald guy, but yeah. pre-beard, though.
Pre-beard. This is pre-beard.
You looked young.
Yeah.
Now, now you look like Uncle Cy.
Yeah, now I'm a... Yeah.
From Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better that than Captain Spaulding, I guess.
No, actually, now that you say that, I see a little Captain Spaulding
a little
for
bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. I can't grow. If you're listening on the radio right now, you obviously can't see the girth of Colin's beard, but he's got a pretty rotund, and girls like to pull on it, and they always want to touch it.
It's happened a
yeah,
few times.
It's happened yeah. a few times. I've got more of a 5 o'clock shadow thing, more of a Don Johnson.
Right.
And Miami Vice. Kind
and of. To be fair, there have been some guys that wanted to touch it, too.
Hey, we are not here to judge.
You know, that's fine with me.
And speaking of strange, we are an open door policy, man.
Just remember, always ask permission first.
Exactly. In this era of you can't be too careful and you shouldn't say certain things, remember, just because we're guys doesn't mean that it's okay to just pause.
Right.
We're not just pieces of meat.
Right.
No, and if you see a rotund beard, you shouldn't point at it.
Mm-mm.
But you definitely shouldn't just go up and start touching and grabbing.
Yeah. Think of it as a pregnant woman's belly.
You right.
Don't just go up and start.
Show a little respect.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to just be like, oh, can I touch? And then you stick your hand. It's a sacred thing.
Right. Yeah.
But coming up this hour, I had asked you, I was like, you know, you come across anything that tickled your fancy, piqued your interest. And you had told me about some discoveries made in the Mayan villages and in the pyramids. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of, I happen to be a big fan of the NPR and of the PBS, always watching shows and
That's
listening to stories and things like that.
You don't have cable.
Yes, pretty much.
Neither
Either
do I,
that no. or I am a reincarnated version of an old British woman. It's one of the two. But yeah, two stories that I have seen in last couple of weeks. One is where they have found a large number of structures in Guatemala, in the Guatemalan forest, that are these Mayan structures that were previously unknown, and they are actually still covered up by forest, by, trees and bushes and vines and whatnot, but using LIDAR, this laser imaging technology. They have uncovered...
Is that like the thing that looks kind of like a lawnmower that they push over top of the ground?
These were actually done, I think, from the air. I think they actually flew planes over.
I think that
one
I'm thinking of
used.
Is like radar, more like bouncing off.
Well, there is... it's been too long since I did my archaeology field school, but there are the ground-penetrating radars that they have. But yes, and so they have found, 60,000 structures that were previously unknown... in the Guatemalan forests that reveal these very large cities, basically. I don't even think you could call them towns. You'd have to call them cities, covering over 700 square miles of the jungle there, which basically point to the fact that there were a lot more people there around than we previously thought.
That's a chunk of land right
that's
there.
That's a good size.
We forget how insignificant we are on this flying ball of mass through space.
Mm-hmm.
That there's that much, stuff that's still undiscovered.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that and something about pyramids as well.
So the other one is they have found this large void cavity, if you will.
In between my ears.
Yes, exactly. In Egypt's Great Pyramid. And so they're not sure what it's for. No one's actually been in it yet. Again, they were using some sort of, laser imaging, whatever, technology to discover this void, and it's the first real major discovery in this pyramid since the 1800s. It's like 150 feet long, 20 so feet tall corridor that they don't really know what it was used for or what
Crazy.
Its purpose was. So,
we're going to talk about those things and many more things. It's Speaking Show where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com and by M&D Paranormal. We'll be back right after this.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual here on News Radio 570 WWNC and online at speakingofstrange.com and via your iHeartRadio app. Brought to you by hauntedashville.com and the fellows over at MND Paranormal out of Marion, or Marion, as they might say, here in western North Carolina. You can attend those investigations. Good guys over there. We've had them on the show, and they actually have a shop out there in Marion that sells stuff like essential oils, incenses, crystals, other cleansing material. That's at 49 State Street in Marion. I am Sam the Animal Steel, hosting this extravaganza this evening, and guest host this evening, Mr. Colin Townsend, my drummer. I say my drummer, but we are just yet but part of what is known as the rhythm section.
You can claim me. That's all right.
I can claim you.
Yeah, that's all right.
And I also have another sitter in the studio, just in case they want to talk. Their mic is on. She's been on before. It's Shannon. She's over there texting. She can hop in if she wants to, but, you know, she's shy. She's shy like that. So before the break, we were talking about this new Mayan ruins that have been discovered in Guatemala. Is that correct?
Yep, in Guatemala.
In Guatemala. And it's crazy. They were using high-tech airplane-based LIDAR mapping tools. Tens of thousands of structures constructed by the Maya, including defense works, houses, buildings, industrial-sized agricultural fields, even new pyramids. These are all under the jungle floor, and they're reshaping long-held views about the size and scope of the Mayan civilization.
Yes.
Do you think that the Mayans were like, I mean, obviously they were much ahead of their time. Some folks would even say that there could be like some, you know, much like the Egyptians and the pyramids, that there might be some form of UFO or, you know, extraterrestrial help. Because how is it that some of these civilizations, when their neighbors or people around them were like way further back, technologically advanced, and then these folks got, you know, crazy, like, ahead of the time.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, I think one of the things is that, you know, with these new discoveries, it sort of speaks to this idea of how much we tend to, I think in general, underestimate the abilities of people that have lived before us, you know, and it raises this question of how much have we forgotten over hundreds, thousands of years of history. So, I mean, I would say that it's totally possible, you know, and again, now you're starting to see some proof. One of the things with this new discovery, they've found these like raised interconnected waterways and basically like highways. So, you know, they're growing a lot of food. They're moving a lot of land around. They're reshaping the land to suit their needs. I think one of the things we tend to, you know, we have short memories. So we think if there's something that we can't do, then how could some other group that came before us have been able to do it?
And there's some stuff like we were going to talk about the pyramids in Egypt here in a little while as well, and a new discovery made there. Sometimes you think like, you know, even now, if you look at today's technology, that would be a difficult task to make some of that stuff with our technology today.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess one answer to that would just be massive amounts of slave labor.
True.
And not caring at all whether or not your labor force dies.
Right.
That's probably one way to achieve the unachievable.
Right.
Just get like a couple hundred thousand people against their will, make them do stuff.
Well, and there another part of that too was this sort of loop that reinforced where, you know, again, they would have these leaders that could marshal all this labor, whether it was through tribute or through enslavement, or whether it was just because they had nothing else to do until the floods came and they could start growing food. And so these leaders would get all these people together saying, we're going to build this monumental structure. We can do it if you listen to what I'm saying and if you, you know, follow my commands and things like that. Then, as they started to accomplish and build these things, these leaders could say, look at what I've been able to do because I'm such a great leader. And so the evidence is here by what we've built. And so then that just reinforces that loop of, you know, okay, now I'm going to tell you we're going to do this. And because we were able to previously do this, all you got to do is just listen and do what you need to do. And we're going to keep building bigger and better things. And look how amazing we are as leaders because we can get this done. And that would just keep the people believing, oh, yeah, so we've got these leaders that we need to trust and do what they're telling us. And look what we can accomplish.
A good leader is a good thing, mm-hmm. something we might be lacking. He says, I won't go too far into that, but yeah. Somebody that you can rally behind.
Right.
But it still doesn't explain really like why they were so much ahead of the field, the rest of the field. Because, you know, like if you were to go, say, you know, a couple hundred miles south of Guatemala or to the west, you're not going to find that their neighbors are building these, you know, intricate aqueducts or, you know, the Mayan calendar, right. for example. Like, what was it about these particular people? Even if you have a good leader, that doesn't explain, like, their weird foretelling of the future.
But don't we still sort of see that today? Don't we still have areas of the world that today are technologically or whatever way behind other groups? So
this is true. I've never quite understood the third world,
right.
so to speak. I'm like, well, if we have running water and, you know, good sewage system and a good electrical grid, then why doesn't, say, you know, India?
Right.
For instance. And I mean, and India is one of the most populous nations on earth. I've been over there and seen it firsthand. You know, you got like huge separation of wealth. You have like extremely mm-hmm. wealthy people and like the most impoverished people you've ever seen.
Right.
But in the middle of it all is like these power grids that are look like I made them mm-hmm. or something, or some child made them. And it's like just, you know, wires connected. It's totally not reliable.
Right. I mean, and you know, another way you could look at it is just think of what, you know, what they call the digital divide, right? So you've got all these different industrialized nations that have internet and internet access and all that, and you've got large portions of the planet that don't have that access. So the areas that do, they have access to certain resources, information, technology, things like that other groups don't. You can kind of see the same thing in the ancient world with the rise of agriculture. Agriculture didn't just pop up all over the place. Certain groups had figured out how to intentionally grow food, while at the same time you had other groups that were still hunter-gatherers. And so, you know, you can see certain, and again, you can say, call it an advancement, but on the other hand, they've done lots of studies that shown, you know, the hunter-gatherers had way more leisure time than these agriculturalists because the intensive growing of crops took a lot of work. So your agriculturalists were really putting a lot more hours of work in every day to be able to feed themselves, as opposed to these hunter-gatherer groups that could go out, forage a little bit, maybe take down a big giraffe or something, and then they're just hanging back chilling the rest of the day.
And much like, it's kind of like mind-boggling to think that there's a 700-some square mile section of rainforest or jungle that's got, you know, all this buried underneath it that we never knew about.
Right.
It's like, you know, like at this point, we also think, you know, like what hasn't been discovered? What?
Sure.
We're so good.
Right.
We're so great and grand. Like, what haven't we discovered?
Right.
And then, like, every so often, like a new animal or even like a tribe. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a tribe recently? You remember that picture that was like for an overhead shot, and like it's these people wearing loincloths, and they're like looking up, like
the quote unquote undiscovered tribes.
Yeah,
but then when you look closer at the picture, you see they've got like a metal cooking pot on their fire. You know,
yeah,
and you don't see any forges anywhere.
But to be fair, they're still relatively
right
behind. They might have a metal pot. Let's give them the metal pot.
Okay, somebody gave them that metal pot. That's the whole thing.
Somebody, yeah. The metal pot missionaries.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
They go largely untalked about and unheralded mm-hmm. in their spreading the metal pots.
Right.
You know, if it wasn't for them, how would we make?
Yeah. But like, your point, that's a good point in terms of there's so much that we haven't discovered, right?
Think
of the Lovecraftian idea of these cyclopean
nice.
You know, things that are like in the Arctic region or Antarctica or whatever, where if you get to a certain point and there are these huge structures, mountains that dwarf Mount Everest and things like that. Who's to say that there isn't something like that tucked away in some remote corner of the world that we've just never been to yet, right?
We totally underestimate the size and scope of the Earth. And it's not until, like, you know, I get to go out on the boat sometimes, you know, like way out into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be
still
like,
waiting for that invitation. So,
hey, you were on the boat for...
I've been on the boat.
You've been on the boat around the harbor.
Right.
But when you're like, you know, 50, 75, 100 miles off the shore where there's nothing and you just go for hours and you see nothing.
Right.
And you're like, we're cooking. We're moving pretty fast here on this thing. How is it that there is nothing? You would think like, oh, I'll be out there and see like, you know, whales or no, you see nothing.
Right.
You see no other boats. You see no animals. You see maybe some kelp.
So does it give you that sense of perspective?
Well, it starts to
yeah.
give you a sense of perspective.
Or does it overwhelm you with the
Well, it's kind of scary as all get out is what it is. Right. I mean, you start to see that there's just a lot of emptiness out there. And some of you take for granted, you know, because we might be in a rather clustered section of, you know, urban area.
Mm-hmm.
But so much is out there with nothing.
Right.
And we are mere specks
mm-hmm.
of that nothing. That's how I put myself to sleep every night. I'm just like, I am nothing, a mere speck of nothing, doing a show, which in the grand scheme of things is a speck of nothing
just
as well.
Just a speck.
Yeah. It's called Speaking of Strange. You're listening to it right now. We'll be back right after this on News Radio 570 WWNC. This is Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC, brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com and the fine fellas over at M&D Paranormal. I'm Sam the Animal Steel, joined tonight by my guest, Colin Townsend, drummer extraordinaire, and, he likes, what's the word I'm looking for here? Not archaeology.
Chocolate, coffee.
Chocolate and coffee.
Coffee and black beans. That's the holy trinity of beans. The cocoa bean, the coffee bean, and the black bean.
And Gaia Berra shirts.
Yes.
Being part Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A full-on half, not just a
really?
Part, like full-on half.
Now, during the break, as we played that Bangles song, Walk Like an Egyptian, because we're going to be talking a little bit about some great pyramid action here, you just blew my mind. We got into a little, not a tiff, not an argument.
No.
Just I was like, no, you're wrong. You were like, Belinda Carlisle's first band, the Go-Go's.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. Belinda Carlisle
yes,
was
yes.
a Bangle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, to wit, Googled something, come to find out Belinda Carlisle was originally a Go-Go, then a Bangle.
Right. Well, you got to dig deep with the search because you have to type in Belinda Carlisle Go-Go's and it comes up and...
Your sarcasm is duly noted.
I'm just saying.
Painting it on thick there. But I was trying to give you a little shout. I was like, wow, you know, like I like to think of myself as being music knowledgeable.
I'd say in a lot of areas you are more knowledgeable. Well, it's not, well
just
I don't
trivial.
Know.
We're, trivial.
Yeah, I don't know. We have our different genres, I guess.
When it comes to tribal drumming and the role it played in...
Right.
Black Bean production and Metal Pot
right.
expansion, you're definitely above me. And I right. will give you props where props are due. But I'll give you props on that, too. Belinda Carlisle, Go-Go, then a Bangle.
That's right.
That's a double whammy right there.
Yeah.
Those are both good bands.
She was a heavy hitter. She did some stuff.
Who was the other girl in the Go-Go's, the dark-haired one?
Wasn't it like a Joe? I don't know. There were a couple. I thought there were a couple from the Go-Go's that were then in the Bengals.
I'm trying.
There was more than just one.
There was that one I really liked. What is her name? She was pretty famous in her own right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a mystery that will be unsolved until one of us Googles it.
Yeah.
It's speaking of strange mysteries. Just pull up the roster. Who was on the
Susanna Hoffs?
Yes.
Susanna Hoffs.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was always more of a Hoffs.
Otherwise known as the cute one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, we played Walk Like an Egyptian because one of the other things you had brought up to me earlier this evening had to do with the Great Pyramid of Giza. One of the wonders of the, can you name all several? Seven natural wonders.
Oh, Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
I know that one.
The Great Wall of China.
Mm-hmm.
The pyramids. So what's that? That's
three
of them. The big statue. What was the big statue outside of Alexandria or whatever? Or was it the library at Alexandria? Wasn't that another one, I think?
We're
talking about the ancient
the
wonders, right? Because, you know, we
Zeus.
Have a whole new set of, you know, a few years ago, they did a whole new set of seven wonders.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the original, we had the pyramid, the Hanging Gardens, Statue mm-hmm. of Zeus at Olympia, okay. Temple of Artemis, the mausoleum at, Halicarnassus, the Colosseum of Rhodes, the lighthouse at Alexandria.
That's what I was thinking of, the lighthouse at Alexandria.
And most of those are in, you know, Egypt or Greece.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're leaving out a lot of the world there.
Right.
There could have been, you know, far greater natural wonders of the world had they looked outside their own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It should be the seven greatest wonders of whoever did that list, like small area around them.
Well, because I was mentioning too, we now have new seven wonders of the world, which has broadened that geographical scope just a little.
Are they natural or man-made?
These are man-made.
So would like
so we've got Chichen Itza in Mexico.
Okay,
right. The huge statue of Christ the Redeemer in Brazil.
That's it, yeah.
You see that video of that guy doing the parasuit thing? You know, where,
yes.
Where he like
that
flies right
nuts.
Through. And yeah.
It's like the squirrel suit or something.
Right.
That's crazy. And he goes like through Jesus's hand or something.
Yeah. Or like right under his armpit or something like that. Yeah.
It was pretty hairy.
And then through two like skyscrapers. He goes like right in when he comes into Rio de Janeiro.
It's not a lot of room for error. On that. Machu Picchu, I see, is on there.
Mm-hmm.
Colosseum. See, to me, though, these are...
Taj Mahal.
They're not new. I thought you meant the Burj Al Khalifa or something. Or the world.
Oh. No, I think they just decided to vote on...
Who's they?
I don't know.
I didn't get a questionnaire the mail.
Who figures it out? Would it be the UNESCO, maybe, or something like
Apparently
that?
Apparently somebody who's, like, in Peru or Brazil... because they got a couple on there.
They probably just did a Twitter poll.
The Taj Mahal
ridiculous.
Wasn't. I thought that was like. I would have sworn that the Taj Mahal would have been an original Seven Wonder.
Yeah. Well, I think this. Some of this list is crossover because didn't you just mention the Colosseum? That's on this list I'm looking at too.
It's so great. It's so wonderful.
Right.
That it had to be included twice.
I just carried over.
But, you know, I would say the pyramids probably. Like, nobody's really talking. I mean, not nobody, but. The Hanging Gardens don't really get a lot of love. Are they even... They're not around anymore.
No, they're not around.
No, but the pyramid has...
they're still there.
Stood the test of time.
Right.
And you would think that at this point, you know, I mean, that's a big problem right now is a grave or the robbing of... I'm trying to think. Not graves necessarily, but...
They're just like taking artifacts.
The artifact.
Like, did you see the story just the other day? That guy popped the thumb off one of the... what are those, like, Chinese warriors, you know, all those statues of the Chinese warriors?
Yeah, yeah.
Some dude was in a museum looking at one and just, like, popped the thumb off to take as a souvenir. So they frown on that.
Yeah, they know. Do.
They don't like that.
They don't like it. I got to go on the yellow brick road, like that Oz up there on Beach Mountain earlier last year. And, you know, people were trying to snake pieces of the yellow brick road.
Yeah.
And that's just painted brick.
Yeah.
It's just yellow painted brick, people.
Yeah.
It's not the yellow brick road. Don't go all crazy. But, you know, you would think by now that a lot of archaeological work has been done on the pyramids. A lot. I mean, how many people have, you know, made, you know, their entire academic careers just on the pyramids?
Sure.
You would think everything would have been found out about them. But no. a new dazzling feat of architectural genius. A void of 100 feet long, scientists just announced this past Thursday, has been found inside the pyramid. Mm-hmm.
It's, and they don't know what it was for.
Yeah. So what lies within that space? What purpose it served? Is it one of multiple spaces? These are questions that have not been answered because it's only a couple days old.
Right. Really. Well, the announcement is a couple days old. They've probably been working on this stuff for a couple years, but...
Yeah. It's the first inner structure discovered within the 4,500-year-old pyramid since the 1800s, and it was also made possible by high-energy particle physics. I would imagine some of that, radar or laser probably incorporated in finding that. They're calling it the discovery of the century. And there's been many hypotheses. Is that the plural of hypothesis?
Sure.
Hypotheses.
Right.
Nobody has ever imagined that such a big void could have been found inside of there. And it's not an insignificant, it's not like a escape, you know, like a secret room. It's like a big...
Right.
Those Egyptians, I tell you.
My favorite of the theories of what it was for is just the utilitarian one of it was just a big tunnel they used to move the big rocks into the interior.
Huh.
It was basically like a transport shaft.
Well, a lot of times I think we look for answers.
Yeah, we want to attach some greater meaning to it when it's just like, no, this is just a maintenance shaft.
That was their bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever. That's where everybody peed.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the Great Hall of Pee or whatever. No. But, you know, it says that the findings mark the latest in a millennia-long quest to understand the Great Pyramid of Giza. And, you know, that's over 4,000 years old. Maybe we're not meant to understand everything. Again, maybe we put too much significance on ourselves.
I like that idea of there being just some mystery, some things that are unexplained. I have no problem with that.
If there was nothing unexplained, then there would not be unsolved mysteries.
Right. It would just be called solved mysteries. And
then it wouldn't be a mystery.
Much shorter show. They would just tell you what it was, and that would be the end. Roll credits.
Solved. Done. They say that... the pyramid was built 4,500 years ago during the fourth dynasty of ancient Egypt's old kingdom. At that time, Egypt was a powerful, highly centralized monarchy. Again, another group of people who were far more advanced than their neighbors.
Right.
South of Egypt, which is like in the north of Africa, they still don't have water and stuff, in a lot of places. They're still going through, I'd say third world or more. These guys, 4,500 years ago, are surpassing a lot of what we can do now.
Right.
And another example of where people say they couldn't have possibly done it themselves. There had to have been some help from UFOs or aliens.
Which I'm willing to entertain that possibility. But again, I think it goes back to we tend to underestimate the abilities of the human mind even that long ago.
I think you should be willing to, entertain just about anything. Really, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, because we don't know everything. And to claim that you do, that's my problem with a lot of, religion and stuff like that, is people who claim to know everything. It's like, this is how it is. Well, right. How do you know that?
Yeah.
I think it shows more, wanting to learn or more by saying, I don't know the answers to everything.
Yeah. There should always be a question.
There should.
That's, even when you find answers, it should just lead to more questions, I think, really.
That's profound.
The eternal pursuit of knowledge.
The eternal pursuit of knowledge, what we aim for on Speaking of Strange. Mm-hmm. Where the unusual becomes usual. We're going to be right back, wrapping up this hour right after this, so stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Get up off of that thing.
Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low, oh, oh. I leaned back on my radio, oh, oh. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll, like a solo set.
and the loud sound that seemed to fight came back like a slow voice on a wave of fight. That was no DJ, that was Hazy Cosmic Jive. There's a star man waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a star.
The Starman, the Thin White Duke. Lots of names for David Bowie. Where is David Bowie right now? May he rest in peace. Could be floating up in the ether.
I thought he was in Elon Musk's car heading towards the sun.
That would be pretty cool. He was just like riding shotgun.
Yeah.
Up there. Him and Tom Petty. Tom Petty's driving Elon Musk's car up to Mars.
Or maybe that's where they are and the car is going to pick him up.
Ah, it's an Uber.
Yeah.
It's a...
They called for an Uber. Got a party to get to.
You
got to
have Elon Musk's Uber up there. That's pretty amazing stuff. That's Elon Musk. That guy, why don't we put him in charge of everything?
Well, you know, I think one of the things with him is he's doing a lot of this crazy stuff because he's got nothing to lose because, you know, according to him, we're all just living in a simulation anyway.
Now, we got into that discussion a couple weeks ago. That can take up an entire show.
Yeah.
I know you like that topic.
I think it's pretty interesting.
It's very interesting. But, you know, it's like, you hear what he's doing in California? Like with the tunnels?
No.
You haven't heard
What's he doing with the tunnels?
Oh, my gosh.
Going to Mexico? So he's building a tunnel to...
No. It's like, remember at the bank when you were a kid? And, like, you would get the
tube. Oh, the tubes. Yeah, the pneumatic tubes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like an underground transportation system that will, like, shoot you via an air tube, like, across the state, and like, in a matter of, you know, minutes. And it's like, you're in California, one of the most earthquake-prone, you know, violent world, like the earth doing its thing. You know,
what could go wrong, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, but Elon Musk, that's how much faith. They're like, yeah, Elon, go ahead.
Yeah.
Dig them tunnels.
So would this be a thing where you just like climb into it and shoot along, or are you in a little capsule that shoots along? Or?
I'm not exactly. I'll have to look it up. It goes really fast.
I'm just thinking friction burns could come into play here. You would need some sort of...
I don't believe you're going to be exposed to the elements there.
Right.
I believe it would be sealed for your protection,
okay.
Much like an airplane cabin. Let's see. The Hyperloop is what it's called.
Okay.
It's a train system, and it levitates through vacuum tubes at 745 miles per hour.
I'm just thinking of that scene in Singles. Where the guys like people love their cars.
They do. So I mean, we are America is a car culture.
Yeah.
It says like the Hyperloop could go between Dubai and Abu Dhabi in 12 minutes, and in your car that would take an hour and a half.
So that's where he's building it, or is he?
No, it's in California. It was just using that as a. Richard Branson's also got like a variant of it. And his is called the Virgin Hyperloop One. And he's doing his in India. You've seen like those, and I'm sure in India, like there would still be people hanging off the back and like on the top of the Hyperloop, you know, going 745 miles an hour.
Catching a ride.
You've seen those pictures of like a train where it's like more people on top of the train in India than are actually in the car.
I mean, who else? I mean, there's that certain small club of these individuals that are so ridiculously wealthy that they're able to, like, compete with each other on these things, like, you know, like the private spacecrafts or the pneumatic tubes whipping people around. That's just, like, a whole nother level of...
We were talking about, you know, like, how off the air we're saying something about, you know, like, how many light years away, like, scientists found a galaxy that's, like, 20 billion light years away, but, like, our brain can't process what that even means.
Right.
Like, we hear, like, $1 million. We know that's, like... a sizable chunk of change, but you don't know like how much $1 million is, or like when you get into $1 billion, it's like
might as well be the same thing.
well, at that point, yeah. like, you get into lots of billions of dollars. You really can't spend it all.
Mm-hmm.
It would take a lot. So you kind of, like, more power to these guys for at least trying to do something cool. I would be like Brewster's Millions. Like, trying to just buy, like, the stupid.
How much can you spend and have nothing to show for
that
it?
That should be it. If anybody wants to fund a reality show based on Sam Steele, a chunk of change, and eBay, how much can he spend in a night on right. eBay buying knickknacks and paraphernalia from TV long-forgotten TV shows from the 60s and 70s?
And guitars.
And guitar. I haven't bought a guitar in a while. It's been,
it's been like a week?
No. No. I haven't had any money.
2 weeks, then. Come on. When's the last time you bought a guitar? Hasn't been
It's been long. A couple months. It's been a couple of months.
Okay. Okay.
It was in Greenville. It was that blue, powder blue Fender. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Love that guitar. It was a good purchase. They say you should always invest, you know, GG&G, the three Gs, the triangle, the pyramid.
Oh, I thought you were going to start quoting G.G. Allen for a second.
No.
Okay.
Gold, guns, and guitars, the three things that hold their value. That's the triangle of pawn. You'll oft noticed that it has a that symbol.
I didn't know there was a triangle of pawn.
A triangle of pawn. Go to any pawn shop and look at it, and it'll have like a triangle with three G's on it. That means gold, guns, and guitars, three things that hold their value.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up the first hour of compelling talk. My guest, Colin Townsend, tonight. Good to have you here, buddy.
Good to be here.
Shannon's here, too. She's just not saying anything. She's mute. Oh, well, I shut you off now. I didn't think you were actually going to say anything. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, brought to you by M&D Paranormal. Visit them online or in person at 49 State Street in Marion, North Carolina, and by HauntedAsheville.com. We got some stuff coming your way. Hour two of Speaking of Strange coming up next. Buckle your seatbelts. Huh?
Yeah.
C'est la vie, c'est the old folks. The culture show you never can.